An in-depth study of the Precious Lady knows that one of the most important themes, if not the fundamental theme of the Precious Lady, is the idea of Das, which is, of course, the idea of Chabad Chochma Bina Das. Many stories in the Masorah of Chassidim tell us of communication between the Alter Rebbe and the Baditshuva and the mutual respect, up to the point that they made a shidduch among themselves, they became a chutan. Here in Baltimore, there is a shiur in Kedushas Levi, which came as a hemshech from a shiur in Tanya. We have this as a schus to have the Rav, who has a special chayis and gishmak in chassidus, most unique in spreading the Torah of the Kedushas Levi and of the Alter Rebbe, and how they both come together. Here in Baltimore, there are many Talmidim which repeat words of chassidus, words coming straight, and it's evident the fire and the gishmak, the life which it breathes into them. We now have the zchus to have with us Rabbi Tzol.
Good evening, everyone. Birshus Rabbanim, the distinguished guests here. I have to tell you, I feel a little bit like a stowaway on a ship. All of you are paid passengers. All of you have booked your passage, and I'm kind of here just along for the ride. And to a certain degree, I want to tell you that I come in here with an incredible amount of permitted kina, because it's rare to see these days such an asifa like this. And it's rare to see people come in the middle of a week, stopping everything that I'm sure is on all of your plates and all the responsibilities which lie on your shoulders, and to come together to mark what is the Rosh Hashanah for Hasidus, which was the Rosh Hashanah not just for Chabad, but the Yahrzeit of the Magid, a day which really represents V'yafutzu Ma'ayonasecha Chutza, the day in which really the teachings of Hasidus really began to flow out, not just amongst the elite and not just amongst the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, but really to the masses. And so to be able to be here tonight to share with you a few words of Torah, I feel a little bit out of place, only because I think you have plenty of people here who could share with you certainly Torah's Chabad and Torah's Lubavitch much better than I can. But as was just mentioned before, I do have the great Sechus to be able to teach a couple of Shi'urim and Hasidus, and I don't know if he's here tonight, but I want to give a very special thank you to Rabbi Larry Ziffer. I don't know if Rabbi Ziffer is here, not here. So he's in Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Ziffer was the one who introduced me to Dvar Malchus, which now I am a daily subscriber. And I'm sure I'm preaching to the converted here, but what an incredible impact just the Torah contained in that little pamphlet. It's amazing to see. Literally, you could be stuck on a desert island, and as long as you have your Dvar Malchus, you're good to go. You got everything covered. And I want to thank Rabbi Gerari for inviting me here. Son Nosson ben Chayaliba should have a complete refuah. And I want to share with you just a very short idea. There's a fascinating insight that's brought in the Sefer Sifsei Tzadikim by the Tzaddik Rav Mendel of Rimenov. And the Rebbe makes an amazing observation. He says, if you notice from the parashios that we begin with Avram Avinu, there's one theme that's stressed over and over and over. And that, says the Sifsei Tzadikim, is the message of the be'er, of the well. The Rebbe quotes, he says, Ba'avram ne'mar, Vayeshev Avram be'er Sheva. By Avram Avinu, it says Avram Avinu dwelt by Be'er Sheva. Be'Yitzchok ne'emar vayimtzu usham be'er mayim chayim. Yitzchok Avinu, in fact, Yitzchok is the most dramatic, because by Yitzchok Avinu, the Torah tells us almost nothing else except the fact that Yitzchok Avinu dug wells. That's all we know about Yitzchok Avinu. All the other details simply mirror the life of Avram Avinu. Yitzchok Avinu dug wells. He redug his father's wells. He dug some new wells. He fought over wells, established shalom over wells. And then it goes on. By Yosef Ne'emar Kishaya B'tzara, this week's parasha, Vayashlichu Oso Habora. Pasuk says that the Shvatim, when the brothers decide to sell Yosef, they strip him of his clothing, his dignity, and they throw him into the pit. And the Sesei Chaim goes on, by Moshe Rabbeinu there's the Be'er, by Aaron there's the Be'er, by David HaMelech there's the Be'er, by Shlomo, he goes on and on, Be'er, Be'er, Be'er. That by all of our great people, there is some association with the well. But the Rebbe stops there. But the obvious question is, so what's the message? Why is it that the Torah Kedosha goes out of its way to teach us by each of the Avos, leaving aside the additional personalities quoted by the Sitzei Tzadikim? But why by the Avos? Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, and again in this week's parasha also, V'habarek im bomayim. Why the constant dwelling? And why the constant focus on the Be'er? And I think the answer to this question comes from the Rebbe's Likutei Sichos. That the Rebbe discusses the incredible idea. He discusses this question by Yitzchak Avinu. And I want to quote to you his words. V'zeu inyan ma'ase avos simon abanim. Shavodoso shel Yitzchak bechafiros habeiros. The Rebbe writes that Yitzchak Avinu's entire life was dedicated to the digging of wells. What's symbolic about the digging of wells? He says, Nesinas koach l'chol echad ve'echad mi'Yisrael. Shelo yiton she'im biyichaloso la'agiyah la'ar neshama. Ba'abishashi behelon behester mitzad yisbal shusa. So the Rebbe says something amazing. You know what's unique about a well? What's unique about a well is when you look at the well before it's been discovered, what does it look like? Right? Not even a hole in the ground. All it is dirt. Right? And then what happens? You remove shovelful after shovelful of dirt until after working long enough, you discover the beautiful, refreshing spring. That which looked like an ordinary patch of earth turns out to contain such a beautiful, life-affirming, refreshing water. And says the Rebbe, this is the metaphor for life. Life is all about digging wells. Life is all about removing the layers of that which is ordinary and mundane to expose that which is beautiful, that which is spiritual, that which is holy. What Yitzchak Avinu did by devoting a lifetime to Chafiros HaBe'eros is Ma'asa Avos Simon Labanim. Yitzchak Avinu was foreshadowing for us what our Avoda in life is. Because my dear friends, many of us look like a clump of earth. Many of us look ordinary. Many of us look mundane. But if you peel back the layers, you find something dramatically amazing. If you peel back the layers, you find the wellspring of ruchnius, the wellspring of holiness, the wellspring of spirituality that is surging through our veins. You just have to find the courage to build, the courage to dig. This is the ma'asa avos simon labanim. The avos dug and struck water, and it is our job as their children to peel back the layers of mundane life and to discover the beautiful waters of holiness which course through our veins, which course through our hearts, which course through our soul. But to take this concept just a little bit further, there's an amazing idea. Earlier in that same parasha, last week's parasha, 2 weeks ago, by Parshas Vayetze, Vayachalom Yaakov Avinu has taken leave of the familial home, and he's running away, and he falls asleep, he has a dream. And so the Torah says, Vayachalom v'nei sulam mutzav arza, V'rosho magia hashamayma. So the pasuk says he dreams. There's a ladder. The bottom is perched on the earth. The top ascends all the way to the heavens. U'malachei Elokim olim v'yardim bo. And the angels are going up and down. And the Yalkut Shimoni says something amazing. Yalkut asks, why are the malachim going up and down? So Rashi HaKadosh explains, malach eretz Yisrael, malach chutz la'aretz. But the Medrash says something dramatically different. Why are the malachim going up and down? Listen to this Medrash. Olim umistaklim bidiyukno shel malo, viyardim umistaklim bidimus diyukno shel mato. The malachim are doing something amazing. Here the Medrash actually quoting in Gemara that says that each and every person has diyukno chokuk al kiseh hakavod. Each and every single one of us has an image of ourselves that is engraved on the throne of the Ribono shel Olam. So what's happening? The Malachim see Yaakov Avinu sleeping on the earth, and they see, okay, it looks like Yaakov. They say to themselves, you know what? That image looks familiar. They ascend up the ladder, and sure enough, they see the same exact image that is chokuk, that is engraved on the Kisei of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But they say it's impossible. How could a mere mortal have his image engraved on the holy throne of the Ribbono Shel Olam? They say, we must be mistaken. They go back down and look again. No, it looks the same. Up, down, up, down, up, down. Why? Because they can't believe that a mere mortal would have his image engraved on the throne of the Ribbono Shel Olam. But my dear friends, this is the reality. Each of us has diyuk neinu, each of us has our image engraved on the kisei of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rav Levi Yitzchak brings down, Rav Soloveitchik brings down a similar idea that man has these two images. There's the image we project in this world, which often looks simple and ordinary. But behind every single Jew, there's an additional image, and that is the image of absolute holiness. That is the image of absolute purity. That is the image of absolute spiritual beauty. And the goal in life is to not identify myself by the image down here, but it's to identify myself by the image that is engraved on the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The goal of life is don't identify yourself by the dirt that sits on top of your well, but identify yourself by the beautiful spiritual waters that run through your soul. This is what the Rebbe was saying in Likutei Sichos. That Masa Avos Simon Labanim. The goal in life is to be a well digger. The goal in life is to peel back the ordinary layers of mundanity and to try to discover your inner holiness, to try to discover your inner beauty, to try to discover that which makes you special. You know, the Maggid said that the greatest chait that a Jew commits, it's not Chilul Shabbos, it's not Harfus, it's not, what's the greatest chait? Is that we forget that we're B'nai Malachim. We forget that we're royalty. We forget that we're special. We forget that we're Hilul. You know, the Piagetzna brings down in the third chapter of Chovas HaTalmidim, he says so beautifully, he says, some people say, you know what? I'm just a Pashat Yid. I'm just a simple guy. The Piagetzna says, do you know how much effort it takes to be a Pashat Yid? Do you know how much effort it takes? Do you know how holy you have to be just to be a Pashat Yid? Because even a Pashat Yid might have a couple of layers of dirt, but the water is there. Even a simple Jew who may project a simple image, at the end of the day, do you know chokok al kisei hakavod? Ultimately, again, his image is emblazoned on the throne of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And so, my dear friends, our avoda in life, I would venture to say, not just on Yotes Kislev, but on Chav Kislev, and on Yudalev Kislev, and on every single day of the year, is to stop identifying ourselves as the dirt or as the earthly image, but to start identifying ourselves by finding our water, by aligning ourselves with the beautiful image that is engraved on the holy throne of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And I'll end off with a maisa. Now I was thinking, could I say over a maisa from one of the rebbes? And I'm thinking to myself, you probably all know all of the maisas, but this is a maisa that was new to me, and I loved it. I actually spoke about it in my shul a couple of weeks ago. And so if you heard it, it'll be chazara. And if I get any of the facts wrong, you can feel free to correct me as well. It's a story that's told about the Rebbe Rayatz. The Rebbe made a trip after going to Eretz Yisrael, after he was freed from his incarceration, made a trip to Eretz Yisrael. After that, in 1929, the Rebbe came to America, ostensibly to really highlight the plight of Russian Jewry at that particular time. And the Rebbe was told of a man who had also been a native of Riga, and this man had been a very well-known tailor in Riga. And he came to America, he started out as a tailor, then ultimately again built a very successful textile business, and unfortunately, slowly over time, he just lost all of the trappings of his Yiddishkeit. He became part of American society and really lost any connection to his water, really lost any connection to his image, chakok al kisei hakavod. So the Rebbe said to whoever it was who was taking around, come, take me to see this Jew. And you know, the handlers, I don't know if there's a better word for handlers, the gaboim said, you know, Rebbe, he's not going to give you anything. He's not, it's a bracha levatala. He's not interested, he's not going to give you anything. He said, if it's a fundraising thing, we're better off going, no, I want to go speak to him. So the Rebbe comes, Rebbe introduces himself, of course, again, this individual You know, in the olden days, even those who perhaps were not affiliated still possessed some level of reverence for Gedolei Torah. So this individual wondered, Rebbe, what brings you here? Why did you come to see me? So the Rebbe said, you know, a button came off of my kapata. And, you know, I remember from our days in Riga that you were one of the best tailors. So I'm hoping that you could sew the button back on my kapata. So the man looks at the Rebbe and says, Rebbe, you're making fun of me. You're making a joke. You came all the way from Russia so that I could sew a button on your kapata? And the Rebbe says, you know, you're saying good. And let me ask you, do you think that your neshama traveled down all the way from the celestial sphere just to come down to this world to make textiles? I don't know how the meeting ended. I don't know if the Rebbe got money or not. But at the end of the day, the story gives us an incredible lesson. Our neshamas have traveled light years to be here. And for many of us, it could very well be that our neshamas have been here multiple times. And we're not just here to sew buttons. And we're not just here to make textiles. We're here to accomplish something great. Each of us in our own way. Each of us with our own mission. Each of us with our own destiny. In the schus of coming together on this Rosh Hashanah l'Chassidus, in the schus of coming together on this Yud Tes Kislev, the Yartzeit also of the Magid, in the schus of celebrating the fact that the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov and his Talmidim has changed so many of our lives, has changed our world, has changed our people, in all of these incredible zechuyos, may we find the courage in Yartzeit Hashem to begin digging. Find our water, and may we be Zoche and Meretz Hashem to stop identifying with the simple earthly image and find the courage to identify with our image. HaChukok, HaChakok, Al Kisei HaKavod. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Inspiring your Kehillah and Tel Chaim, Maccabiah, Be'er Mayim Chaim, and Baltimore and beyond.